I guess I could boil down those recommendations to three. I need to involve more of our staff. We have some staff who are very experienced and talented in the KPFK model of fundraising who would like to work with me more closely on marrying sort of the strength of what our last experiment was and what the strength of our traditional model is, which is to one of these recommendations is what I'm going to get into next, which is to look at some of the proven track records with thank you gift oriented fundraising. Take a harder look at those revenue streams that are associated with certain types of thank you gifts that have been fairly consistent over the last several years, and to incorporate those types of gifts or that type of fundraising in future on-air fundraisers. Additionally, allow more flexibility when what I would call implementing special programming. On one side, you could call that preemption. I would rather look at it as working with programmers that are currently in a particular fixed spot on the grid, asking for their assistance in several ways. Maybe they can assist us in airing a spot or two, or being involved in what might be special programming during that strip. Say it's three or four different strips during a fundraiser. Call it 7 a.m., call it 2 p.m., call it 4 p.m. Normally you would come in with programming associated with a thank you gift or rebroadcasting of an earlier program. We will do some things like that along those lines, but I want to incorporate and include the programmers who would otherwise be preempted. Perfect example is Jake Kugelman today, 12:30 Friday, coming in asking about the future of the fund drive. Would he be preempted? And the answer is yes and no. We would like to use that 12:30 to 1 o'clock to extend Global Village, because Global Village has had a track record of being able to fundraise well. But also, though, I would like to use Jake Kugelman in other areas to produce what I call capsules or other types of programming that can be aired in different places to further what we did in this last experiment, reinforce our mission, reinforce what we stand for, which he's quite articulate and intelligent and can help us do that. So instead of just pushing Mr. Kugelman aside and saying, no, we're going to air something in your spot, see you in 3 weeks, it's we're going to use that spot because it's been proven to be a good place to fundraise, but we'd like to use you in other ways to help reinforce what we do during our fundraiser, which I've gotten positive feedback on in terms of the style of the last fundraiser. Style of the last fundraiser was pleasant on the year. Style of the last fundraiser reinforced what we are and who we are. It obviously didn't bring in the money we need to continue to operate. So we want to take some of those things that we did that was positive, that we got positive feedback on, the things that reinforce our mission, still include those in our drive, but then still use the tactics that are proven, and then try to consistently learn from these fund drives. How can we move farther along towards sounding good during our fundraisers, sounding relevant during our fundraisers? We're going to be in election season. It would be quite inappropriate to not be focused on the important issues such as the election during the October fund drive. So special programming will include not only some great thank you gifts, but thank you gifts that will be appropriate during an election season. And there will be plenty of content, I think, available to our listeners during our fund drive. A fund drive should become a showcase of what we do best. You take a magazine like Los Angeles Magazine, for instance. If they have their best of issue it isn't a complete departure from what they do. It isn't a whole issue on some other random city. It is. Hey, let's show our readership what we do best in our best of issue. I think that's what a fundraiser should become. Is this is what we do best. This is why you should join us, which can incorporate and will incorporate. I think some of the tactics from the past that have worked really well. Good staff, very well versed in the KPFK model. I'm going to learn from them on this next one, and I think that if we compile the two sort of approaches in a meaningful way, I think it'll work, and I do believe we have some confidence in our staff on this new approach. Staff reduction is another issue of great importance. It's part of our approved budget to balance the budget for this next fiscal year. We did have our human resource director. Our human resource director did leave the network recently, a little suddenly. I'm back on track for a conversation I've had with the executive director, Nicole Sawaya, and we'll be speaking with our general counsel in the next couple of days to advise me on how to move forward on the staff reductions that we have all agreed to. As far as the prop, just to regroup on that, we did have a very productive meeting with Sherna, myself, and Armando. And I think the next step, which will assist me greatly, and I think will assist you, is evaluation. And I did take a good look at the type of evaluation that is currently being used. I think it's difficult to evaluate 133 programs quickly. I think if we're going to evaluate 133 programs quickly, which I think you should do, we need to come back to the FROC and work on a evaluation form or criteria that's a little more nimble, something that we can get through a little more quickly. The evaluation form that we currently have is quite thorough. And I think would be very effective if we had a year to do it. But if we want to do it within weeks or months, we're going to have to chunk it down to the basics. Strengths, weaknesses, goals, etc. And then we can go through it quickly, then we can set benchmarks, we can set goals, and we can say, hey, first evaluation, it happened, this is your strengths and weaknesses according to you, these are your strengths and weaknesses according to management, these are your strengths and weaknesses according to whatever other bodies involved, listeners, I assume. And we can do that process fairly quickly, therefore the programmer and the LSD and the National Board and those anybody else who's concerned can take a look and say, well, okay, we have now a snapshot of what this program's doing, why it exists, and what we should do with it going forward. After that, we can get more detailed, I believe, with the form or with the process because we've gotten the first one underway. But what we don't want is to never get the evaluation underway and completed because the process is bloated and difficult. I think we can do that, and I'll need some guidance and some assistance from the LC and specifically the PROC to make that happen.
Thank you.
Well said.
I'd like to say, first of all, thank you for your two-way communication that we seem to have with the GM and the committee, as well as with the GM and the LSC. It is refreshing, and I think it's going to be very productive. Let's open up to Q&A. Now, yes, Mr. Lexman.
Yeah, I would like to get...
Is this please. Appropriate? Please.
I would like to get some clarification on the phone bank. September 22nd is a Monday. Can we get some details? Would this be happening at the station?
Correct.
Can you expand on it a little bit?
Absolutely. I spoke with Mr. Guy, and Tony, our volunteer coordinator, will be back Monday. And Zoo will be assisting us. Basically, we're getting ready for our fall fundraiser, too. So we'll set up the phone line prior to the 22nd. And we will which I've seen what we've done in the past, which is basically a very nice, clean form. It shows the members the basic information, a phone number, name, a pledge amount, maybe thank you gift. Then it has a section for notes, and then volunteers will then call the individual and say, you know, our fiscal year is wrapping up. We'd love to get your pledge in. We have over $600,000 in unfulfilled pledges, and we're running on a deficit. We'd really appreciate it if we could do that today. Simple as that, yes or no.
Thank you. This is also an opportunity for the listeners to ask questions.
Okay, I'll have Rico.
The game.
Drill, drill, drill. Let's keep your hands up for a second. Ms. Love, please start, and I want to take the next.
On the phone banking, is there any chance, well, first of all, I hope that people do not call people during the dinner hour. I'm sure that we've all experienced those calls, and it's pretty aggravating, and if you don't listen, you don't get the call. Is there any chance that we might set up a Sunday one, and I will coordinate a team of LSV members, if people would agree, to do it that Sunday? But I did want to raise a question about the staff reduction.
Yes.
You say that you want it, that you're planning the reductions to take place at October 1st. Is that to notify people, or is that to have it happen? Because I believe there's a 20 working day notice period.
That's
right?
Correct. According to my conversation with Nicole, my recommendation is that day can be one and the same. I spoke with the union rep, Lawrence Mayberry, who agreed that it is common practice in broadcasting that the day that you notify somebody of their 20 days, give them their 20-day notice, that is, in fact, their most likely, depending on the person, their last day at the station. They will then be paid for 20 days, and then they will also receive any outstanding vacation and severance as well. And I believe the after contract, for those that are in the union, it calls for 1 week of severance per year served of the maximum of 5 years.
Thank you.
5 weeks.
I didn't see any hands up from the listeners. Did I see two? Okay. Thank you. That was can we take one from Mr. One of the witnesses, please, ma'am. Please, go.
Okay. Since I have been so intimately engaged with Frog way before that, for so many years, insisting that KPSK open the airways to all political viewpoints, not Democrats and Republicans, not just Democrats and Republicans, some for Ross Nader, Cindy McKinney, for all Republican now from all libertarian ballpark. It does not matter. You have local assembly running people. You have state. You have city council people that were challenging the Anagosa. You would never have heard them. They were never heard. 15 people running for mayor, and not one person aside from the five clowns that the corporation selected could have been heard on KPFK. This is not only disgraceful, we pay so much lip service everywhere, but we have to look at how are we going to grow if we are not looking at the very essence. And to pay lip service can go many ways, but I'm going to get right to the point. How is it that our 24 hours are consumed by Democrats and Republicans? We have other candidates running who are daring to challenge the status quo. And we are saying that we stand for a new world, a changed world, but we cannot think intelligently to develop a town hall session, to develop time on air, to give these people duly courtesy time.
Thank you. Thank you. Now I would like to go back to a board member, Mr. Poyer.
I'm wondering, something that Chris brought up recently and I brought up long before, the idea of during the phone interchange between our people and listeners call it our in people, if there's any opportunity for indicating why they have not or would not support following up on their pledge. Or is that something too complicated or offensive or embarrassing to do? One question.
Okay.
Go ahead. Does that come up at all?
In the phone banking?
Should we ask them what it is? Follow up to the.
That's a great answer. The once we've got the credit card number, then I'll ask that question. But no, that's a good opportunity to ask that. But it probably is better to ask it after we get the pledge.
Follow up.
Because we might remind them of why they didn't fulfill.
Yeah, that's right, I didn't.
And then you ask them, like, I remember now. But that is a good opportunity to get that information.
I agree. I might have possible to put in.
Yeah. I would actually instruct them to ask the question once the pledge has been filled, or if the person says, no, I'm not going to fulfill, then you could say, okay, great. Can you tell me why?
Thank you. Mr. Riet?
Yes, thank you. I really appreciate the process that you engaged in one-on-one. I think that's very nice of you. One of the things that I think that really works, which the times that I've ran for election have been pushing, is more sustainable $25 pledges, which is dance membership. And I don't think we should just have, summer signups or winter signups. I think signups should be encouraged throughout programs. And maybe in blocks, quality blocks. I'm also concerned that oftentimes the station promotes the duopoly, which is the Democratic and Republican Party. And it really, I would think it's within, it consistently addresses our mission, which is to have an open ear and open mind to all views. And so I was kind of very discouraged with the kind of analysis that was given throughout the conventions. Some of it was good, but most of it was really like they were excited about being there. So, and I think the critical analysis didn't happen. So I would hope that you would bring in Cynthia McKinney to give some analysis, Ralph Nader, just to really create some real, fair analysis.
Thank you. Ms. Goodman?
I am so happy and so excited that you're going to have follow-up phone calling on the unfulfilled pledges. And if there are $600,000 in unfulfilled pledges, it's just a gold mine that has been, I think, left on the table for too long by KPFK. And I'm hoping that you'll think about not only doing, one round of phone calls for the $250,000, but go after the $600,000 and actually have a whole campaign of writing reminder notes. And, I mean, that is money from people who are already on board and listening and have already actually made that commitment. So that's our biggest place. And then and then the other thing, just related to that, is people who are old members who haven't renewed in the last even 5 years. We can go back quite a way to go and look at those people and try to get those people to re-pledge. But first of all, the $600,000, we should really make big efforts to go after it. So
thank you.
So happy.
Thank you so much. Listener? Yeah? Please?
I want to thank the GM for putting on air that it's only $25 to be a member, which I did not hear before, and I think it's important to know, and that was put out a lot of times. It was a different way of promoting membership and sponsorship. I also want to say that just connecting up to Reza asked me to do a little outreach report, and to emphasize something that I'm going to say right now rather than later, because some outreach committee members brought in membership to the fund drive that we had collected from the community, and we brought these people in ourselves. They had filled out forms, and Reza wanted me to ask everyone on the LSB to do the same thing. And everybody went and brought in new members. We all agreed to bring in each fund drive, 4 or 5 new members, whatever. That would be a substantial addition. And, you know, there are people that we know, and we can have the check in hand and bring it right over to the station. So that would be something that the LSB can contribute.
Thank you so much.
First, I'd like to thank Sean for being so patient and attending not only our very long meeting, but everybody's very long meetings. This is very helpful, and we appreciate your taking our suggestions and constructive criticisms and everything so well. And I think we'll be able to really go forward in a positive way with a lot of these things, because you're willing to spend a lot of extra time giving us face-to-face interaction at our committee so that we can directly discuss our issues with you. So I think just thank you for that, because we really appreciate the finance committee, and I'm sure, you know, the programming oversight, everyone, I think feels the same way, that you're really making a tremendous effort to reach out and work with all of us. So that's really it, is I want to thank you for that. And your mail out, I got a call from a friend today who's on a fixed income who always donates KPFK, and she said, I see the station is really having a hard time right now. I sent $25.
Sure.
And so that was just like an extra $25, because she thought, oh, you need the money. And so anyway, so that's I'm already hearing positive feedback from that. So that's, you were right. I think that will probably help bring us up to speed on that. And I would suggest that maybe we could do a Saturday and a Sunday. So for those of us for whom Sunday is convenient, we can cover a whole weekend. Mm-hmm. And between those days, like, all of the OSB members should make a concerted effort to go in and put in some time to do this effort.
Thank you so much. We're going to try and wrap this up. So you guys, if you have questions, please try and make them concise. Mr. Hightech, if you want to jump in any time before I call the next name, please jump in.
We're at time for this item.
We are time for this item?
Yes.
There's a motion to extend for 5 minutes.
Second.
It has been seconded.
Can I have a point of order?
Please.
I'd like to just say that if it's an in-person Pacifica National Board meeting happening on September 19th, 20th, and 21st in Washington, D.C., and I'd really like to get to this TMB report so that we can get your input of anything that you wanted to bring. What concerns you have for the PSCAP meeting.
It is next on the agenda.
So can we, is it possible to just move this, because we have to get out here by 10.
There were two other committee reports.
Two other committee, we had the finance, and then there's the outreach.
There's
two committee reports, and they're going to last.
In the interest of brevity, I mean, we brought our motion. I feel that maybe a majority would like to send it back to committee for a little more reworking. I'm not opposed to that as the chair of that committee, so I don't know if that's out of order. But
I would just like to say that maybe to streamline it, I think there was a recommendation to just make it one line motion that we need to keep track of time with employees, and I assure you that this is actually a good suggestion, so this is what we will pursue. And if you want to pass a motion that says I need to be assuring that employees are coming in compliance with the law and keeping track of time, that's fine, and I can assure you that this is basically the plan we're going to go forward with anyway.
I'm going to move that as a substitute amendment.
Second.
Yes. It has been seconded. Any objection?
No objection.
Order. Yes.
I don't have an objection or anything. I just would like to request maybe 1 or 2 minutes to send you guys a heads up on what's coming up in the next couple of weeks.
We'd love to have that. We'd love to have that.
We have a vote on the drive. We got an important month between now and the elections. I'd like to highlight some of the stuff that we're working on there right now.
That's a great idea. Maybe if you come all this way, I would love to. We'll definitely do that.
You don't see the link?
Yeah, I was going to say, average committee will have 10 minutes.
First of all, we have a motion on the floor, and that motion, there has been no objection, so I am taking it that motion is approved of unanimously without objection.
Rico, does the secretary have it down, though?
Yeah, don't worry, we'll get it.
Okay,
so that's why I'm reiterating it. Yes, Mr. Rhea?
Just real quick. I keep hearing law, California law, whatever it is. I think, you know, there's a possibility for liability by not citing what law is. You know, it's almost like, you know, you use the phrase California law to sort of smack somebody.
Reprimand
somebody for implicitly by saying, well, California law says this without citing the law. You should cite the law.
Okay. So what it seems to me that the recommendation, a motion has been made. The GM has said, whether it's law or whatever the situation is, I like the idea of it and I'm going to adopt it. That's enough for the board, I think, because basically it's the work that we're more concerned about as opposed to the process.
Point of order.
Yes.
Where are we? The finance committee item ran out of time.
We had a motion.
So we need to extend time.
We're done.
Well, I think we're done with it. We had a substitute motion that had to carry. But thank you, because you're on top of it today, though.
Rico, another point of order. Armando requested a couple of minutes. I think if we, courtesy to him and information to us, it would be appropriate.
Yeah.
Give him a couple of minutes, please.
Yes, as a matter of fact, there's no objection. We'd like to do it now because people are waiting there patiently.
Yes, okay, folks, thank you very much for all the hard work you're doing for accepting me to come in today.
And thank you for coming up in here. And
I want you to know I drove here from Pomona.
Thank you.
I made one stop. Funky and tired this morning. Here we go. So look, we're coming out of this drive, right? First of all, I want to commend Sean. He came in to a rocking boat that's not even on water, but he's getting us there slowly but surely. No new road is easy, and we know that. Hell, this road has cars parked in the middle of it and shit. You know, we're like in India with cows crossing across and can't hit them. So, you know, I commend Sean. He's come in. It's not been easy for us, staff and personnel, and it's not been easy for him, and it's not been easy for you guys. But slowly but surely, I'm confident that with his direction and leadership, as well as yours, we can get there. We came out of this drive, which was, you know, programming up until then. We try not to preempt before and after. We got out of there. We're in the month of September. It's the stretch leading up to the election. It's going to be very, very important. One of the things that I myself have been pushing, and I know Sean agrees, is that we need to bring back KPFK to what it was and what it can be, which is a news organization that thrives on content. So one of the things that one of the strategies that we're working with in getting us back to content and reconnecting us back with some of the communities we serve. Yesterday we launched what's going to be a series of programs from now through November, of programs that are going to take us out into these very communities. So yesterday we broadcasted live from the Los Angeles Gay and Lesbian Center at Bull Plaza. IMIU did 2 hours. Next week, Feminine Magazine, 2 hours live from Cal State Long Beach. Women's Center, exact titles. Now, mind you, all of these programs will have an emphasis on elections. And on elections as it relates to the program's theme and the program's content that they regularly cover. Other programs include Beautiful Struggle, and I am now... Damn, brother, how did you want to Freedom Now and Beautiful Struggle will be broadcasting back-to-back, week to week, I should say, live from the Merck Park Lucy Florence Cafe each Tuesday. The following week as well, the strategy session will be broadcasting from the Velasquez Policy Institute, as will Jim Lafferty Labor Review. Now, this is just the first series of programs. Right? We're hoping to replicate this in the afternoon and then eventually in the morning. Each week, getting us out there, 2 to 3 programs. It's a real, real difficult process.
Labor Review, I'm sorry. Labor Review?
Yes.
Where is he?
You know what? That's TBD. I contacted the port, right? And they're actually working with us on allowing us to broadcast the show live from literally the parking lot outside with the ship containers.
Wow. Excellent.
And it turns out that the labor unions can't get involved. They would deny it. So we went straight through the Port Authority. So we're working on that logistic. In fact, I suspect that I might have a call waiting for me at the office. Lawyers Guild. Now, ongoing initiatives. September 26th, of course, is the first presidential debate. Chris Condon has a program that's going to broadcast, and I really want to encourage all of you guys to listen to it because I want feedback. 20 seconds.
Come on, brother.
Which one do you want?
20 seconds. I want feedback, folks. Spotlight Africa is working on something. Okay, so here's an idea of kind of like what we're working on. But I want to introduce 2 new things that I think came up today. I feel very comfortable, confident, and excited about it. I made a trip on down to Cal Poly Pomona and met with folks of Cal Poly Pomona and Mount San Antonio College. And we're working on a collaboration already scheduled for November 13th. Mount San Antonio is going to put up a panelist. Cal Poly Pomona is going to put up a panelist. We're going to put up a panelist. And we're going to do a special debate, 3-part, 3-way collaboration on who controls the media. What's great about this, we visited the venue. It's huge. It's large. Both universities are putting their entire PR machine behind it, as will we. This is going to be the first time that we're going to go to this part of town, folks. This is what I'm so excited about. We're going to actually be out in the Pomona area. It'll give us an introduction and hopefully build towards a new membership. On the way back, I stopped off for a second meeting I had today with the Anahuac Youth Sports Association. A gentleman by the name of Raul Reyes. And this guy manages a sports youth association with 2,600 young kids. I met with him over the weekend. I met with 11 parents. And he does this real unique project where as he's training these kids, mostly in soccer, he also teaches them social activism. All right? And I had met with him back in January, and he's interested in teaching them, you know, some of the trades, hence radio came into it, and he'll be giving us access not only to his kids to teach them radio workshops, among other things, but 2,600 students, guess what?
Parents.
We're all working class people. Frogtown. So I'll be meeting with them again.
Elysian Valley.
So Elysian Valley, yes. So anyway, here's some of the things that are going on. I want to thank you guys.
Before you go, so what about the Spanish program? You never mentioned the Spanish program.
Actually, September 15th and 16th, I'm working with Rodrigo on, they want to do some special anniversary, the 16 de septiembre, Mexican independence programming. Of course, that's relevant because it's in the second largest Mexican city in the world. We have more Mexicanos here than Guadalajara, which is the second largest city in Mexico.
Wow. Okay, thank you so much, Armando. You come here, and I know there's a lot more that you could give us, too.
About 4 pages.
So, next time you come to Armando,
Next time you come here, let's talk beforehand so we can get you on the agenda.
Yes, please.
Can I announce that I received the papers that I'm sending around for sign-up for the call on Saturday or Sunday? The LSU members would Hopper. They'll be coming up to a vote network-wide, which means this LSB class, this delegate assembly, and together with the other four delegate assemblies, as well as the TNB in November. And Jack is passing that around. Two of those amendments was actually passed here in March. Three other amendments as well, but I'll just cut it down. We're running out of time. Well, as we get closer to November, we can readdress the issue.
Thank you.
Can they tell us what's on the agenda for the
PMB? For the PMB, you'd like to know what's on the agenda.
We don't know yet, but budgets are one of the main things. We're very, very, very difficult.
Could you speak louder? Could everybody else speak softer?
We're in very, very, very difficult financial times, so the budgets are coming up for PMU ratification at this in-person meeting, hopefully. And
about the ED.
Would you like to address that,
Yosh? No. No, I don't. Well, go ahead, Jack.
Okay, there's been no formal announcement, but the executive director has resigned. Her last day will be October 5th. I asked her to put out a statement to the staff, and I got an email response, sort of inappropriate. No, it's not like that. It's just, I don't know. It just doesn't seem to be the right thing. But beyond that, I don't know what to say. We don't have a human resources director or an executive director. Starting soon. The chief financial officer, there's a question about what about the chief financial officer. I have a prepared response. In mid-July, the chief financial officer notified his staff that he was going on medical leave. He's been on medical leave until the JA, and there's been no change in his staff.
Thank you.
The only other thing I have to say is I have personally put forward a number of motions for consideration by the PND. The CAB motion I read to you passed. Another motion to get a legal certificate counsel to consider a wording for an arbitration agreement to be signed by all new hires. Another one is a performance requirement for Pacifica Station program directors, general managers, and executive directors. That was referred to the programming committee. Another motion, which will be coming up on the agenda, is for the formation of the strategic planning committee to bring to the in-person meeting in D.C. short, medium, and long-range recovery plans of national offshore by station. Anyway, there needs to be a strategic plan, obviously. And whatever. So maybe we can use the rest of the time for input. What you would like to have us bring to the PNB meeting?
I have a question first. Which I don't know if one of you three can answer. So regarding the financial department.
Yes.
While Lonnie Hicks, I guess that's who you're referring to, has been on extended leave, is gone. Is there an acting chief financial officer?
Nicole has essentially been doing his job with the finance staff as well as her job. Something she put in her email. She said, I've been doing two jobs.
Can I ask you, members of the PND, what your feel is on the status of the national office? I mean,
will it be open in 30 days?
what we're saying.
I'm not sure what you mean by that.
Well,
it's functioning. It's functioning. It's, I mean, you know, everyone is in overdrive mode. But
okay, I have a response. I will do everything that I possibly can to ensure that there is sound interim management for the Pacifica Foundation. And a number of other PNB members who I've spoken with are also committed to that as well. So we are going to be working on them, and we'll keep you up to date as much as possible on that process.
Thank you. John? Yeah, I mean, you know, it may seem like we're in a horrible spot here without a human resources director and without an ED. On the other hand, you could look at it on the bright side. You know, we don't have those people here anymore, and we can move forward. Now, when you say half full, you know, no one's sitting in those chairs, but they're not sitting in those chairs. That might be a good thing in some respects, because I know, you know, when I first met the ED at this LSB, I was shocked. I mean, I was like, how did this person ever get hired in this organization? And then, the human resources person was, you know, I mean, very middle class. And I hope when we say, you know, sound management, that we don't say, you know, simply defer to conformity. And you know, I mean, that we instead sort of look a little bit outside the box towards people who are a little more aligned to this type of organization and who understands the specific, you know, stresses of democratic governance and the relationship.
Thank you, John.
Yeah.
Thank you. Before I speak to you, I'd like to have someone let me open the Mr. Ryan.
No, I just want to say, for once, I associate myself with Ian Lamar. I don't want to say anything bad about the person, but just to say her temperament is not brought right for the job, and this may all be a blessing in disguise.
If we could pick the last question and then move on, because we would love to get her.
I would like to ask Jack, who I believe is on the National Personnel Committee, are the wheels being put in motion to start a new search for a new ED?
It hasn't started yet. The PMB meets Friday. It wouldn't surprise me if they start Friday.
Then in response to Grace's request, I would like to send a message to the national meeting that we need some alternatives are looked at for an interim ED solution, such as a Compass Point or some type of a nonprofit management system.
Thank you. If we can bring it to a close, but we have 3 minutes.
We'll take 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Okay.
The finance staff, there are some very, very competent people on the finance staff who have been working very hard. Everything is working. The biggest problem that we've had is the cash flow problem. As far as the functioning of the national office, it continues, and as Sean pointed out, Dan Siegel, his specialty is employment law, and so Sean is going to be working with him, but some of the things that were left on the his desk.
Thank you. Is that the end of your report now?
Yeah.
Yes, please. Can we just have a clock report on
you guys?
Is that done? Where are we? Are we?
Can I raise my hand and move that we adjourn?
Yes,
move to the second.
Adjourn?
Because I think we have to, right? I think that the fundraiser that we had at the Ford Amphitheater, many members of the outreach committee spent the entire day there helping out and doing whatever needs to be done. And they do everything that the station needs for support, cooking food, coming to the phone, manning the phones when that needs to be done, tabling at events, bringing membership, and I think it's done in a very modest way, without fanfare, just because, you know,
they care.
We support the station, and this is what people do.
bring membership in to connect people to the station. And town includes Orange County as well as LA. What else? I mentioned that we brought in membership at the last fund drive. Let's see. I think outreach committee is a vital part of the station, and I think that the members should be commended for the work that they do, and maybe put first when you have committee meeting reports rather than last.
That's a good suggestion. I think we all understand that how important the outreach committee is. And the work that you guys are doing.
Make a motion.
There's a motion on the
top. One more thing.
Yes, please.
Is that we're all, just to follow what Armando has presented, of connecting with community organizations as well as quasi. We have also been in discussion with students at various universities and with staff at various universities to work together with them. I think Armando's not here, but we'll be working with him also to connect up with the students at different colleges.
Thank you.
I would personally like to commend the outreach committee as being one of the most active and involved committees and actually getting work done.
Thank you. I would like to say before we adjourn that this, without a doubt, has been one of the best meetings that we've had. And the word that comes to mind is that we have learned to respect each other, even if we disagree with them. And we are getting business done because of that.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. We are adjourned.
I'm going to have a couple of thoughts in the